The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
You're right. It's Friday. Some of you are headed home, and I know I can see that smile on your face right now. You ready to get home? And we hope you have a great weekend. We pray that Jesus Christ is Lord would be a part of your worship on this weekend. But before you do, we hope to have a great, great, I would say, kickoff into the weekend here on Exploring the Word as we do Fire Away Friday. 888-589-8840. We're going to take your questions, and Alex and I'll do our best to give you a precise, honest, truthful answer. That's our desire, and we try to do that as good and as well as we can. And Alex, let me update everybody on Share-a-thon, and then I want you to just take us away a little bit and update us on where you are and where you're going to be. But first of all, we want to thank all the folks that listen to AFR for sharing in Share-a-thon, and especially those that listen to Exploring the Word. There was over $2 million that was pledged. It was a great time, just a great opportunity to share with one another. The words that we heard were partnerships and family. And thank you, those of you that listen, those of you that tell others about Exploring the Word and AFR, and those that share. Alex, I know you and I was involved, and it was a great hour that we'd have each afternoon. But I'm telling you this, 4 days would kill us.
Well, those are pretty full days.
Yeah, they are. But we're glad it was great and full. Go ahead, brother.
Well, God bless you. And folks, thanks for listening, and thanks for praying for this ministry, and thank you for participating by your giving. And we endeavor to continue on proclaiming the good news of Jesus, proclaiming the truth of the Bible and the Christian worldview, and also making a difference in our culture for righteousness. And so we just, it's an honor. And really, Bert, every day as I get ready to, you know, turn on the equipment and get with you around the Word of God and the radio, and I find myself every day thanking the Lord and saying a prayer to, that we get to do this. It's just an amazing thing, and we don't take it lightly at all. We count it such an honor to talk with friends around the country about the things of the Lord, don't we?
We do, and again, it's nearly like just the opportunity of a lifetime. And I tell folks there's three things that became very important to me early on in my ministry, but later on in my ministry. One was to be able to share the Word of God and be biblical. Secondly, missional. I mean, we are to take serious the Great Commission, carrying the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. And the third part was to instruct and help people, to let people know how important the family is. And God has let me be a part of this, and that's what we're able to do. Well, Alex, I know you've got some important dates ahead of you. I want to make sure and we get those in before we go. We got people already calling in. We want to get to the boards, but I want to let folks know where you are speaking.
Well, God bless you. And then I've got a little nugget to give everybody. But I've got a few things coming up pretty soon. And on my website, which is alexmcfarland.com, it's just my name, alexmcfarland.com, I'm going to be down east a little bit. There's a big event we've got November 18, 19, and 20 called Apologetics by the Sea. And I know we have a lot of listeners in eastern North Carolina, South Carolina, places like Fayetteville, Wilmington, Dillon. Emerald Isle is a coastal city, Chapel by the Sea, Emerald Isle. Their website is eichapel.org. My dear friend Robert Cornegie, he was a missionary with Mercy Ships. He's organized just a super duper conference. I'm going to be there speaking in November, Apologetics by the Sea. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to be at Southern Union University in Chattanooga on Wednesday the 9th. I know we've got listeners in Tennessee, and so a lot of big things, but I surely do hope to see a lot of our eastern North Carolina, Mid-Atlantic Friends at Apologetics by the Sea, November 18 through 20. But listen to this, Bert, and then we're going to go to the calls. I was doing some study today working on the show, and you know, we talk about the providence of God and how God is in control, and he is. And, you know, in Genesis 50, Joseph said to his brothers, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In other words, God turned something into good that you might have intended maliciously. Listen to this. I read in the Hebrew language, there is no word for coincidence. Isn't that something?
That is amazing. No word in the Hebrew language for coincidence.
That's right. And I just thought for a second, wow. Because, you know, every now and then, well, you know, we'll say, hey, lots of luck, or yeah, boy, I hope things turn out. And nowadays, a lot of people are upset about the election and apprehensive, and we do need to be in prayer, for sure. But I thought, in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew language, there's no word for coincidence. Because this is a world not of mere happenstance. It's a world where, dear friend, the good Lord is in control, isn't he, Bert?
He is, and he will bring it about in his time. They just want to know Jesus when he had his return. He said, I don't know. That's out of my hands. The angels don't know. It's out of their hands. Only my Father, he knows, and he'll tell me when. And so, listen, the older I get, the more I learn, I trust Jesus. I can't figure it out. I can't know why people think the way they do. It's just beyond me. But I tell you what, I have learned to put your hand in the man of Galilee. I am telling you, he is the man that will guide you, strengthen you. The good thing about it, we're in his hands, according to the book, the Bible. So it's good. That's good. No coincidence, no term, no word for coincidence in the Hebrew language. Amen. Well, we've got calls, and there are some lines open, and that number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to the first caller of the day, and it's in Texas, and it's Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Is Jeremy short for Jeremiah, or is Jeremy your name?
It is Jeremy.
Okay.
Although, yeah, I guess that's kind of a shortened version.
Yeah, it
of Jeremiah,
is, but
it's Jeremy.
Okay, that's great, but I like Jeremiah as well, so go ahead, brother.
Well, I'm going to get you guys thinking a little bit on prophecy and end times. So I've been studying probably for about a year and a half. I've really been drawn to Revelations, as you can imagine, with everything going on in the end times. So I'm going to try to fire two, three questions at you regarding this section in Revelations, which is Revelations 17 and 18, which describes this mystery Babylon. And I've talked to a couple pastors I know, and usually when I talk to pastors on this, I don't know if they're not real clear on end times or not, but they typically tend to punt on this question. But when I read this passage and looking at it in the light of what is going on in our country today, I see an economic powerhouse that is utterly destroyed in the end times. I don't know when that falls in, and when I read Revelations, I think, I don't know if everything is exactly chronological, so I don't know if this is during the tribulation or maybe just before the rapture, but when I read this, it can't be Saudi Arabia. That's just not happening. I think the Catholic Church is a really tall order. When you read the passage, it says the merchants of the earth will cry out when this economic powerhouse is destroyed by 10 nations and they give their power to the beast. And when I think about America, where 70% of our economy is based on consumer, so we consume so much. So why would the merchants of the earth cry out? Well, it's because they lost their best customer. So I'm just, when I look at this, I tend to think, wow, could this possibly be America? Because I think America is probably the only place that fits this description. The pornography that comes out of America, the sexual immorality, the idolatry, the rest of the kings of the earth committed with her. I just see America. Do y'all see that? And where do you think this fits in prophecy chronologically? Is this something where maybe we're raptured out of here before this happens, if it is America, of course? Or, you know, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy. Let me just share this with you. If you look at the book of Revelation, you're going to have a lot of different opinions on when everything happens in chronological order. Alex and I, we're both leaning toward premillennial. So we believe the rapture probably has taken place, and this is during that period of time. But Alex, when it comes to this great economic power, this merchants of the earth, could it be not necessarily one nation, but an organization that has pulled it together. Is that a possibility?
By the way, thank you for a great opening question for today's show, folks, for real. Because, you know, I do think that we live in the last days. Now, I don't know if these are the last of the last days. I don't, you know, nobody knows the day or the hour. But, you know, we very well could be in that time period when the rapture happens and world events escalate at such a rate. I mean, it would not take much at all for the world to come together under one political system, one economic system, and one religious system. I mean, and I want to talk about Babylon and all, and that, but Bert, with all of the technology and with all of the political and economic instability and so many of the first world nations, the civilized world, America included, are leveraged to the hilt. And really, the economies of the developed world are truly a house of cards. And that's why it really, frankly, is scary to think about if the next president were to continue to deepen America's indebtedness. Bert, the world, and again, we're not doom and gloom. We belong to Christ. But the world, politically and economically and frankly militarily, the world has become a powder keg, hasn't it?
It is, and it is everywhere on each continent. And the financial issue, is it $20 trillion? Yeah, $20
trillion. $21 trillion?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I know we're coming up on a break, but listen very carefully. This is going to blow your mind, but for 2,000 years, Babylon was really the most important city in the world. And Babylon eventually fell. Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18, during the tribulation period, Mystery Babylon is the source of ungodliness, occult, false religion, corrupt government, oppressive economics. And so Mystery Babylon is the world superpower in the tribulation from which the Antichrist rules and reigns. Now, could it be America? Personally, I don't really think so. I think Bert alluded to this, that it will probably be a confederation of nations because, for one thing, right now, even America, for all of her problems, and America, certainly we have national sins of which we should repent. But right now, I mean, believe it or not, 93% of the world's gospel work, 93% of the world's mission work either comes from America or is funded by America.
Yeah.
So as bad as she is, and look, believe me, we got problems, but America as it is right now, could America continue to wax worse and worse, or might we have a revival? Well, we need to pray. But the Bible says this, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to throw to you. The Bible talks about the times of the Gentiles. And generally, scholars believe that in 586 BC, when Israel fell to Nebuchadnezzar, that began the times of the Gentiles. Now, I don't know that Babylon will emerge until after the rapture when the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled.
Most of the time, we have what is called a foreshadowing of those things that are coming. The EU, the UN, so many things. A country? Could be. Jeremy, thank you for your call. We've got lines that are open. We're going to come back. 888-589-8840.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Dr. Tony Evans says our country has gotten so politically preoccupied that we've pulled the plug on our own power source. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I was on the telephone yesterday, and as I was talking on the phone, things began to go beep, beep, beep. The receiver was indicating a lack of power. It was letting me know it had been away from the base way too long. It was letting me know that it was hanging out independent of its source. It had been sitting out all night long, and when I needed to communicate, my ability to communicate was interrupted because the receiver was no longer hooked to the source of its power. And when you stay away from your source too long, it's hard to carry on a conversation because there's no power to carry you on. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, Israel had been away from God too long, and the word of God was rare in those days. Many of us, if not all of us, need to hear a fresh word from God. We need a fresh vision. We need a fresh manifestation. We need a fresh illumination. We need to hear God brand new. That old stuff won't work because we're in a new time with new issues and new needs.
Dr. Evans says our nation won't turn to God until the church returns to God. He explains how that can happen in his book called America. It uncovers the roots of our country's moral and cultural decline and spells out a biblical plan for renewal that will really work. Get details today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Word of God speak. I don't know if that song does to you what it does for me, but it really, music has ability to just speak to your heart, and the melody and those words just, they bless my life. Word of God speak. And that's what Alex and I, that's one reason we love to do Exploring the Word. It's not necessarily what we say about the Word, it's the Word of God itself, Alex, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. We do love God's Word, and we just count it a great honor to be on to talk about it.
Amen. Okay, well, let's go to our callers. We're going to go back to Texas and going to talk to Scott. Scott, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, yeah, Alex Burke. Hey, I love listening to y'all, brother.
But, thank you, man.
I was talking to this young gentleman that I work with, and he was talking to me about ghosts. And I explained to him that I don't believe that ghosts are actually people that have died, our relatives or stuff like that, coming back to visit us, that I believe that it was demonic spirits trying to lead us away from Jesus Christ. And I didn't know how to explain it to him right, and he started talking to me about purgatory with the Catholic religion. So I told him I didn't have an answer for him, but that I knew two guys on the radio that surely have an answer for
it. Hey, we have answers now. We do our best. We try to be as honest as we can, as precise as we can. Danny, I agree with you. For his ghost and them being what most people would think of the paranormal, I want to agree with you and understand that. I do believe that they may be demonic spirits doing some things in the area of paranormal, Alex, I think it's distractive. And we just have one time, and that's Samuel, when his spirit came back over in the Old Testament. The rest of it is that's the only area that we find out that's, you know, I don't know if we can fully explain it, but, you know, we feel like even in that God can intervene even in those cases. It is an unusual, I would say, an unusual happenstance. Do you feel like it's demonic?
I generally do. And let me just say this, that the Bible is very, very, very emphatically clear that we are not to engage in any occult activity or try to contact the dead or anything like that. Let me just say that I know it can seem a little, intriguing. I have met people that get kind of obsessed with things like the paranormal and, P-A-R-A, the Greek prefix para means beside of. So something alongside of this physical reality, people want to get involved in the paranormal and ghosts and all that. I say stay away. Stay away from that, because the Bible is very clear. When you die, Hebrews 9:27 says, after death, there is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And the only example where we ever see anything that would deviate from that would be in 1 Samuel 28, when Saul went to the witch of Endor, which, by the way, this was hugely out of the will of God, wasn't it?
It was. And again, there are some things that you look at in the Bible. Again, Alex, you and I say that. The Bible reports it. It doesn't endorse it. And, and God warns us. Even over when you look at Leviticus chapter 20, especially, it three areas: immorality, the other one was the death of children, which would in our day abortion, but the other one was witchcraft in that day, or the paranormal, and most of the time in that day it was associated with drug, mind altering drugs.
Yeah.
So with that, you get two, I think you do get visions out of that, which are abnormal, and it's satanic in its source, and it's usually satanic in its results too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and let me say now, granted, there is some stuff that goes on in this world that we just ain't got no explanation for. I mean, really. And we all can probably, cite examples of things that we just don't have an explanation for. But what we do know is that there are demons that are malicious.
Yes.
We have no record anywhere, of demonic activity that was ever even neutral, much less beneficial. And I do believe that, what we often think are ghosts really is demonic activity. And let me say this, poltergeists are real. Things that happen in houses, like noises, I do think what scientists call poltergeists, I think they're demons. My friend Greg Steer, who's a great evangelist, when I worked for Focus on the Family, we did a lot with Greg Steer and Dare to Share, and he wrote in his book, You're Next, a book about evangelism, about how they had to cast a demon out of a house.
Yep.
And let me just say, it's something that Christians need to be aware about, but you certainly don't go seeking out to try and experience or see something like this. Look, remember, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're to be led by the Holy Spirit. We're to think on the good, the true, the beautiful. That's Philippians 4:8. Know that the devil and his minions are out there, but we certainly don't want to go looking for them.
Let me make one last statement, then we're going to go with the next caller. Is anything Satan can get you sidetracked from Jesus, he'll use.
Right.
Even good stuff, but he really loves to use those things that are dangerous, okay? Because he draws you away, and then he destroys. And so stay away. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Danny. Danny, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bert and Alex? I listen to you guys every single day on the way home from work. Love your show. Love your ministry. Just love listening to you guys.
Thank
every
you,
day.
Brother.
So knowledgeable, and just give me a wealth of information. But here's the deal. I have a very, very good friend of mine. About 3 months ago, his father came up mysteriously missing. He had a caretaker. Of course, the caretaker and it was pretty suspicious circumstances. There was some pretty good forensic evidence left there in the house, but no sign of anything. And they finally caught the woman, but she's not talking. I was just wondering, I've been searching the scripture, trying to find, some words of comfort that I could give him in this type of situation. And I reckon I need some help going there. I know. Hang up and listen to you guys on the radio.
Okay, Danny, thank you for calling. What, man, we're going to, let me just give this. We're going to take time out and pray after we talk to Danny about this issue. Alex, the scripture that I remember Vance Havner uses so much is that God knows my frame and that we are but dust. Okay, now how would that throw in? God knows my frame. He knows where that. He knows where he is. And I remember, let me give this little small event in my life with my wife and our son. He had to have a test surgery that was going involved. And we were with him all the way up until we got to the operating room. And we stopped at the doors. And the nurses said, Mom and Dad, you have to stop here. We couldn't go on in. And our little son, been raised that way, he couldn't talk plain, but he said, don't worry, the Lord is with me. And honestly, my little son taught me right there. And we, and Danny, you can tell your friend, wherever that father is, yes, the main thing is not you knowing, but the main thing is God knowing, and God is working. Danny, I hope that helps. Alex, give Danny some hope and scripture, please, brother.
Well, you know, we've always loved Psalm 46. And friend, you know, when you're in times of pain and you need comfort, the book of Psalms, I have always found to be the book of comfort.
It is.
Really, frankly, whether if you're down in the valley or rejoicing on the mountaintop, if you need comfort or if you want to just praise God, Psalms is the go-to book. But in Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And I wrote a whole book on Psalm 119, but Psalm 119, 76 says, may your unfailing love be my comfort according to your promise to your servant. God's love is unfailing. And, you know, we know that even when there's, like you say, a disappearance or something that, you know, we just don't know an answer right now and we've got to wait, God is that comforter. In fact, the word for the Holy Spirit is the comforter.
The comforter.
And, of course, Psalm 23 is so good. But let me give you one, and I know we got to go to the next call, but look, Isaiah 12, verse 2. Isaiah 12, 2. I was in a hospital waiting room, 2:30 in the morning, drove from Atlanta to Greensboro. My dad was going to die, and I said within my heart, I said, Lord, if he dies, you better take me too, because I don't want to live. And instantly, I said, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry, because life is a gift. And I opened my Bible, and it fell open to Isaiah 12, 2. It says, the Lord is my strength and my salvation and has become my song. I will trust and not be afraid.
Amen.
The Lord Almighty is my strength, my salvation, has become my song. I will trust and not be afraid, Isaiah 12, 2. See, Bert, even in the deepest of valleys, when you think about all that we have in Christ, we're secure in Christ, and He really, today's tears can become tomorrow's joys. God can give us a song even in the darkest of nights, can't He?
He gives a song in the night. We're going to pray. Father, I pray for Danny's friend that you would draw close to him, draw close to that family who is missing a father. I don't know all the other relations. They don't know. I cannot imagine the anxiety. And Father, we say, oh, we shouldn't be anxious. Father, in reality, we live in a world that has gone mad and hard and difficult things happen. And when we are anxious, what we do, we go to you. And you are that strong and mighty tower. You are the shield. Father, you, as Alex has said, you are the comforter. You're my comforter. And Father, I pray that you'd be a comfort to those who are hurting, those who are waiting. Being in God's waiting room is one of the most difficult places to be because, Father, we wait upon you. And I pray for that family. I pray for revelation on the part of the disappearance. And Father, I pray for an answer. But more than that, I pray for your presence and your power in the life of that family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And
thank you, Danny, for calling. Thank you for being a friend to someone that is hurting. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Michael. Michael, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. I'd like to thank you both for your program. And I just had a question about, I know in Revelations it speaks about where God will send a lying spirit upon the world, and those who rejected Jesus would believe a lie and follow the Antichrist. I know you had mentioned earlier, just a few minutes ago, how things foreshadow the future. And I was just wondering if you thought that lying spirit was already here, because the way the world just seems to follow the lie and all the support that, like, for instance, Hillary Clinton gets, even though everybody knows she lies about things, people just tend to flock to it. I mean, it's just, it seems ridiculous to me. And I was just wondering if you thought that lying spirit was already here upon the earth.
Okay, Michael, thank you for your call. Let me give you an instance, Alex. I'm just going to give one. Like, we're looking for the Antichrist, but we have, and I use the word foreshadowing, whether that's the best choice of words, I don't know. But in John's writings, for John, he says many Antichrists have already come into the world. So we, what you have, Michael, is always an escalation. And what we were talking about earlier about the paranormal and getting into the ghost and all of those things, Satan is never still. He's going to absorb and use up and then absorb more of your life. And so the Antichrist has already come, but it's going to climax in the Antichrist. The line, the same thing is going to happen. He's the father of lies. Satan is, isn't he, Alex?
He really is. He really is. I think one of the keys to understand is this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this: the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. And one of the things that, you know, when it talks about that God sends a strong delusion, in fact, to understand this, I would encourage everybody to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And they're like, people ask, well, why would God do that, send a deceptive spirit? I don't think what it really means is this. There are all these demons in the world anyway, but God restrains the devil. Now, there's bad stuff that happens in the world, and just imagine the mayhem that would break loose if God's protective hand were lifted. And Bert, I happen to believe that part of what goes on during the tribulation is that the restraining hand of God,
that's right,
is pulled back, and the demons are finally allowed to do more of what they've wanted to do all along.
I agree fully.
Yeah. And, you know, why do people, you know, Mark Twain said that a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is just putting its shoes on. You know, why do people believe that which is false? Let me read a scripture, Isaiah 66, 3 and 4. It's talking about people that do evil things. It says, quote, "They have chosen their own ways. Their soul delights in their abomination. I will also bring harsh treatment on them and bring their fears upon them, because I called and no one answered. They did not listen, but did evil in my eyes." People that reject truth eventually get to where they can't even recognize truth.
Don't even know it. And they believe the lie. You're listening to Exploring the Word. We're going to take your calls. We're taking a break, but we'll be back right after 3 minutes. Don't go away.
Would you join me right now in praying for our nation? Precious Father, during this political season, would you help us? We see your hand of judgment all around us. It's getting darker. And we know that you and you alone can bring the course correction that would turn our nation around. For your sake and your glory, for the rapid advancement of your kingdom, would you bring a mighty movement of your Spirit among us? Save us, O Lord. Would you unite your church in humble repentance and fervent, unrelenting prayer? And then, O Lord, would you hear and answer our cries? In your name and for your sake, we ask these things. Amen. I'm Bill Eliff, pastor and author for OneCry.com.
Human life really isn't as valued on our planet as it should be.
The discussion of civil rights has traditionally been limited to the issue of race. But as Dr. Alveda King points out, life itself is a civil right.
We speak about life from conception until natural death. And so anything that interrupts that also interferes with our civil rights.
Visit afastore.net to find the DVD Life is a Civil Right and all the resources of the AFA Cultural Institute.
Another share-a-thon has come and gone. Here's Tim Wildman.
Folks, let me just say how encouraging it is to know you're standing with us in our fight for religious liberty and biblical values. We're going to continue to share the love of Jesus Christ and to tell the truth about what's happening in our country. Again, thank you.
You can still call 877-616-2396 or go online at afr.net. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Welcome back. I'm just talking about our Facebook. We've got some questions on there, and Brent and I were talking about it. We're going to take some of those questions next week, and we're going to answer them. We try to answer the Facebook on the radio because that's our main way, and if you ask it, other people are usually asking it as well. So you can do that, but next week we're going to take some of those questions that have come in, and we will do our best to give an answer. Let's continue taking our calls today, and we're going to go to Texas and talk to John. John, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, welcome. Thank you, Alex and Bert. Really enjoy your show, and it's really a blessing. May the God continue to bless and encourage you in your work.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
I need to give you a little background on myself. I was educated for 16 years in the Catholic Church and in the Catholic school system. I went 2 years to a seminary. And one of the things that caught me when I was reading the Word of God was Colossians 2:8, where it says, "Be not deceived through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and not after Christ." As I was in the seminary, by the way, my seminary Bible teacher is still living today, and I'm still witnessing to him today as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. What we were taught was that regarding the Old Testament was the Old Testament is nothing but an ancient history of old Jewish people. Who cares about the Old Testament? For so much, that was the end of the Old Testament. Regarding the book of Revelation, it said that's all allegory, that's all made up, that's nobody can figure it out. And besides, it's already all happened at the year 70 A.D. That's what I was taught, and that, by the way, is still being taught today. A few years ago, I took my wife to Israel for our 40th wedding anniversary, and we went to Pastor Curry's church in Bethlehem, and he was raised, as I was, he was raised as a Greek Orthodox priest, and yet he's now, when he read Isaiah and Jeremiah, he fell in love with the Old Testament, as did I. And I asked Pastor Curry, I said, tell me, you know, your whole family was Greek Orthodox. I says, what were you taught when you were in seminary? He says, oh, that's very simple. He says, don't bother to read the Old Testament because it's the ancient history of old Jewish people. And he said, the book of Revelation, we're told never to read it because it's all too confusing. Many people assume that Catholic priests know really the Word of God. They're actually taught philosophy, not the Word of God. In addition to that, I need to bring you to back to the first caller there. He had a question on Revelation 17, and 17:5 says this, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the church.
Of the earth.
Most people, even Roman Catholic people, don't know where the official crowning for the Pope is. The official crowning for the Pope takes place at St. John Lateran Church. And those very words are etched in stone on the outside, on the front of the building. They're written in Latin, but they read exactly the same way. Most Holy Mother Church of Rome and the Mother Church of all the worlds. It's written in Latin.
Okay. John, I want to thank you for your journey. Alex, it's exciting to see where God can take us from and bring us to. And listen, the Old Testament is more than ancient manuscripts about an old people, isn't it? And the book of Revelation is more than just confusion. It may be difficult, but praise the Lord, there are some sureties at both places. Alex, respond a little bit to John before we go to our next caller.
Well, you know, you mentioned several things, and the mistrust of the Word of God has infected a lot of schools over the last, say, 250, 300 years, and it's ruined a lot of lives. One thing you mentioned was what I learned in some of my undergraduate before I went to a Christian school. I remember when I was at UNC Greensboro, just in history and in literature, I was taught that the Old Testament was ancient pro-nationalistic propaganda, that the Jewish people, they were in bondage and they wanted to feel some patriotism and try to feel good about who they were. So they, you know, said some of the stuff they said in the Old Testament. But basically, there's a couple of ways to look at the Bible. Naturalistically or supernaturalistically. If you approach the Bible and you presuppose that it's just an old book written by man, you're going to come up with some rather fanciful ways of trying to explain away. A lot of people that don't believe in Bible prophecy do that with the book of Revelation. And there's a belief called preterism. Think of the prefix pre, P-R-E, that all of this has already happened. And the ransacking of Jerusalem in AD 70, that's what it really was about. But this just fails to answer so many things. We believe in a futurist look at the book of Revelation, that from 4 to 22, that hasn't happened yet. And also, regarding the Word of God, we don't believe it's a human book written by man. We don't believe it's ancient Jewish Zionistic propaganda. We believe it is what Jesus said it was, the Word of God from start to finish, which can never be broken, and every jot, every tittle, every detail in the minutia will one day come to pass. And the summary of the Bible is this: Christ the Savior and how you can know Him, and we hope that everyone listening does.
Amen. And I just want to share with you, you can start reading the Bible from a doubting position, and still God do a work and bring you to truth. Josh McDowell has experienced this. You know, others have experienced this, Alex. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, whether you believe it or not. I gave this illustration. A person can hold a knife in their hand, and I can say all day, oh, that's not a knife. That still doesn't keep it from being a knife. And people mm-hmm. that find and say something about the Bible being an ancient manuscript or something that is just a figment of man's imagination in the future does not keep it from being the powerful Word of God. And I would suggest use the Word of God that you might live and live it and let people see it. And I want to tell you, it will have its effect. The Word of God will not return void. And John, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome.
Well, thank you so much, brothers. And you all might remember me. We had a lovely discussion about ecumenism about 6 or 7 weeks ago.
Okay,
so
yes.
The reason I wanted to call in was to lift up that young man who was questioning what ghosts were and how to talk to his friends. And what spoke to my heart was that I believe he's beginning to have his walk as one who can discern the spirits. Because a young man like that, unless God was leading him to an understanding, in today's environment would have not taken that position. And the reason I know, I came from that world. I was watching Ghost Hunters. I was watching Haunting This and Haunting That. And I was a Christian. Until one night, the Holy Spirit convicted me when I was praying for a hedge of protection. God said to me, look at your own DVR, when I was living into my own home. And ever since that, I have been looking at what I watch, what I read, and what I listen, because the devil is a deceiver. He is an angel of light. And he will present himself to you in ways because he's after your mind. Because he knows if he can control your mind, he can take your soul.
Elizabeth,
well,
thank you.
God comes to us for our spirit and our hearts and our love for him. So, young men, wherever you are, I hope you're still out there. Read your Bible.
Amen, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Alex, I want to say one thing about this, and that's moving into a new home. If you're moving into a home that someone else has lived in, you don't know what has gone on there. I don't want to overdo the spiritual warfare, but I also don't want to underdo it. You know what I mean? You better be
careful. Exactly.
There seems to be places and areas where demonic spirits seem to be, I'm using the word, at home. And if it's in somebody's home where certain things were taking place, so go through the house, and I have done this. I call it cleansing, a spiritual cleansing. Get someone to go through. You pray in every room. Pray that God would be praised, that he would be adored. And if there are demonic spirits, in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, command them to leave. And that may sound really weird to a lot of folks, Alex, but I do believe that, like you said, the poltergeist and all of that, I think it's a wise thing to do that when you're moving into a home.
Well, you know what? Focus on the family where, I worked for a number of years. They converted a former abortion clinic, and I'm thinking this was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or it might have been in Minneapolis, Minnesota, but anyway, it was in the upper Midwest. They it became the offices for a pro-life center, and so they decided to dedicate it in prayer, and some of the folks on the family staff went up there. And now, make of this what you will, but I assure you, focus on the family is not prone to anything outlandish. And they had this prayer meeting, and they were just saying, Lord, this was an abortion clinic, and now we're dedicating it to, saving lives and adoption. And we just ask the Holy Spirit to be here. And if there's any unclean spirits, in the name of Jesus, we command them to leave. Well, at that moment, literally, the back door of the place blew open. It literally blew open. And they said that it was like they, as they started this ministry there, they had a cleansing of the building. And I don't doubt that a bit.
Amen. Elizabeth, thank you. And praise God. Let's talk about what Elizabeth said, just a sentence. That's what you call deliverance, okay?
Yes, cleansing.
And so many churches are, we need to understand that God delivers. Now, he chooses the way he delivers, and praise God, he does. He'll take you from the walk that you're doing in sin, and he will deliver you, and he will set your path straight. Elizabeth, I thank you for that testimony and that encouragement. Let's go to Texas and talk to Watson. Watson, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Gentlemen, I just wanted to pray for you and your family, your association.
Go ahead, brother. Watson?
Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, you've got the whole wide world in your hands. I pray for Bert and Jan. Alex and Angie, take wherever they're going to and fro today. Lord, I take 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I'm only a human being, but I think it's time that we realize the Prince of Darkness has got me. My eyes are pouring, running, and I'm really emotional. But I'm all in there. It's God bless. It's God bless America. But it's America bless God. And you start with me, Lord. You start with me. You wring me out like a wet sponge. You let me come to the end of myself. And I pray for where these radio waves are going, and they're not being blocked, and you've got control over it all, Lord, that every preacher in the world from this point in time, from the tip of his toes to the top of his head this week, will know that he's preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected. And if we want to win the world, we become the Lord God in the flesh. And that our preachers and that our elders, the deacons, those church members, that we pray for them, their families, because they hurt. You know everything, Lord. So I'm calling on all intercessors. As we pray now that preacher, as he preaches, that the purpose of the church house is to bring glory and adore you to begin with, and that the preacher gets a message to the body of Christ, because we don't know the bondage that sits right beside us and the strongholds, but people are hurting, Lord. And I'm talking to the Christian family, for we know that the Prince of Darkness, the lights of eyes are blinded, but they can be open. This is the answer, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Watson. Alex, I've moved my heart, brother.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Watson, for praying for our wives. They have a heavy, heavy load. Alex traveling all the time. Jan traveling with me, and it is difficult life for an evangelist. Thank you for praying for us. Amen, Alex.
Amen.
I'm ready to go now, brother.
I know, and I know so many out there that do pray for us, and we appreciate that. We thank you so much. And folks, be in church this Sunday. Be praying for this nation, and you might want to even fast and pray for this upcoming election.
Thank you for listening today. Tell someone about Exploring the Word. But Alex, what's more important than that?
Tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.